I'm sure you've had somebody in your life that you wanted to be close to, you wanted to get near, get to know better, get closer to. I think it's strange. There's a lot of people that want to get like super close to some celebrity. They see, they'll go to a baseball game hours before to reach their hand out and maybe touch them when they walk by. You know what I'm talking, have you seen? Or there's these people I've seen, they're called Swifties. You know what that is, okay? And they will spend thousands of dollars to go see her in person, Taylor Swift in person. I mean, I think they would cut a finger off if they could give her a high five. You know, it's just high four at that point. But they would do whatever it takes just to be near, you know, that person. And I don't really get that. I've never really felt that way towards a celebrity. I mean, I'd like to meet a couple people maybe, but not to that extreme. It's kind of some crazy stuff. But there's certainly people in your life that you want to be near. There are people that when you're with them, you feel better. You know that person? I mean, you know the person when you're with them, you feel worse, okay? You don't want to be. But then there's the people, just when they're in the room with you, you're happier. You feel more joy. You can feel just different, okay? You know what I'm talking about, those people. For some of you, it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. It's somebody in your life. Now, I, you know, work with a teenager, has been there for a long, long time. And it's really fun to watch when a teenage boy notices a teenage girl is cute, okay? And then the things that ensue. Now, there's different things. There's some that are so scared when they're cute, they just run away. And that's all that they don't know how to do. And then there's the really confident ones, you know, they're like, just walk straight up. They're like, hey, how's it going? But most of them, what I've noticed the guys do is they just start like trying to hang around her. They just get near. That's the goal. And the leaders, we kind of tell who's, you know, trying to do. And then later one of them went, did you know that they're talking? And they're like, yeah, we've known for weeks. And they're like, how'd you know? It's like, because he follows her around like a puppy. I mean, just everywhere she goes, there he is. And he just is the goal. He just wants to be near. That's the goal, just to be near because maybe something, you know, and I get that. I mean, it was a little over 13 years ago. There was this cute blonde girl And I was trying to talk to her, being around her. And the more I was around her, the more I wanted to be more around her, you know. And that's, of course, my wife, okay. And I wanted to be near her. It's what I wanted, just be closer as I could be. And you've felt this. There's people you want to be near. And then maybe you've experienced this. There was someone you were close to, and now you're not. Like your high school best friend or someone in college or that person from that job. And man, there was a time when y'all were so close. You talked all the time. They knew all of it. But man, now you think, it's been, how long has it been? You see them at the store. Oh, it's so good to see you. But right now they feel so distant. And there's that part as well when it comes to these. Now, when it comes to relationships and being close, that's an important part of our life. But there is nothing like having a closeness with God. And that we can desire to be closer to him, to know him more, and to be with him. And I think some of us have been close, and there's maybe some distance has developed. But we can be close to him. There is nothing like the joy that a closeness to God will bring in your life. There is nothing like the purpose and meaning that you'll get from being close to God. And, you know, when I look at the good things in my life, the good things, okay, like, I'm very blessed when it comes to family, with my family and my kids and just all my family. I'm so blessed in that. And I realize, I can recognize so easily that I have what I have because of God and because of my relationship with him and willingness to follow him through my life. Because of the way I treated girls when I was a teenager, because that's the way God told me, and when I was dating and was going through life, and so then I treated my girlfriend, then fiance, then wife, okay? And I have what I have because, in that area, because of God and my relationship with him and him leading and guiding me all along the way. Without that, I would have taken different paths because naturally there were some other paths that I might have wanted to go down. But with him, it took me there. See, it is that closeness with God that has brought those blessings in my life. And I think if I was to ask, go around and say, would you like to be close to God? Would you like to be close to God? Would you? The answer for the most part would be yes. If you're a Christian, especially, you're going to say yes. I even think, though, that many people who don't know God are not even sure what they think about God. If it came down to it, and if they were to say this, okay, well, I might not know if there is a God, but if there is one, yes, I would like to know him and be close to him. I mean, if he's out there, that would be great. And they're not sure that he is, but they would want to. And so what I want us to know is, yes, he's there. You know that. And yes, you can be close to him. And for some of us, I just want us to reconnect with him and to get close to him again. So I want to tell you exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at four verses, and it's going to talk about how to draw near. We're going to look at how to get close to him, remain close to him. For some of you, get close to him again, okay? Some of you, for the first time, you're going to be close to God. And then I would say, at the end of service, I'm saving some of my time for us to seek him, because I don't want you to just hear it. I've asked the worship team to sing another song, and I want you to prepare, so when you hear Joni going, meet, 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 you don't go, okay, what are we having after food? Okay, I want you to stay focused for a slight bit longer and let God do something in your heart, because he can do something in you. It may have been a long work day. I don't know what you went through today and what went on, but if you let God turn things tonight, your life can change. And so that's what we want to believe for as we get closer to him. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 22. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Right here, I want you to see that we can draw near. When our heart is sincere and we really want to, we can draw near. And some of you have felt close to him at one point in your life, and maybe right now you don't. You feel distance from him. Do y'all remember back in the day when the truck, like they have the trucks, and the front was not the bucket seats with the console. It was just the one long bench seat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Remember those trucks? I don't know if they still make them, but that's the way most of them were back then. And I remember in high school, a bunch of friends had those. And, of course, you know, when they were riding with their girlfriend, she would sit in the middle, right? Right all the way next to him. And one time we had four friends all crammed in the front, you know, before seatbelts were a real rule. And so we were all crammed in there. And so it was me. I was on the far side, and there was another two others. And so what we would do every time we would pass people we would know, me and this other person, we would just duck down. So they looked like those two were, like, squeezed up next to him. They were not in a relationship. So it was just real fun to make rumors start. It was a small town, you know. It was easy to get stuff going. And, but, you know, couples would sit by each other. So I heard this story about this married couple, and one day they were driving, and you know, she was sitting on her side and him on his side, and she said, do you remember back when we were dating how we used to sit right next to each other and cuddle while we drove around? That was so nice. I miss that. And he's driving along, and he said, well, I haven't moved. She's the one that moved over, all right? And I want to just point out, okay, some of us at some point in our life were close to God. And we were doing things and experiencing God in our lives. You were doing something meaningful for God, and you were making a difference for God, and you felt close, okay, and you feel distant. He didn't move. Okay, he didn't push you away. You moved over, okay? And so what I want us to do is, with a sincere heart, let's draw back near to God and be back with him. So we're going to go through these verses, and they're going to talk to us about how we can draw near. And so in verse 22, it continues on. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Now, some of that's weird. Hearts sprinkled, okay? There's a lot in Hebrews that's hinting back at Old Testament things, where when they went to be forgiven of their sins, they would do a sacrifice. They would take blood and, like, sprinkle it on people. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore, okay? It was just some things there. But what I want us to see here is that we have to have this assurance of faith that cleanses us from a guilty conscience. Because you can't be close to someone when you have a guilty conscience with them. Have you ever had somebody mad at you and you had to be in the same room as them? I mean, you could be in the same room but not close, you know what I'm saying? So when somebody's mad at you, it makes you really uncomfortable. You don't feel close to that person. One year we went to one of our camps, a fall retreat, and there was this girl named Emma. She had been in the youth group for a long time, good student, lots of fun. I was close to her, and they were in the dorm, and a wasp landed on a window. And so she's going to kill that wasp. So she grabbed a broom and went to hit that wasp, but forgot that was glass on the other side. So she just put that broom right through the window. Well, I didn't know anything happened. She went and hid, like, in the woods, like, because she was scared of me, of what I was apparently scary. And so she's hiding, and her friends come and say, she's hiding from you. She's scared to talk to you. And because she did not know what I was going to do, right? And so, of course, you know, I talked to her about not being stupid, and then, you know, it was fine. And we got over that. But there was that tension there. She was uncomfortable, and you probably felt that. I mean, I've done so many things I could easily share. When I was in college, I was in band, I was in band, I was a music major, and we had a rehearsal one day. It was at 5 o'clock. was about 2:30, so I was like, I can go play some video games, because that's what college guys do. And we went and played video. I went to my apartment, and I'm playing video games, and I just lost track of time. And I look up, it's 5 o'clock, okay? It was 4 o'clock was when the rehearsal was supposed to be. And I ran down to the band hall, and the band director's in his office. Now, I was a good student. I was close to the directors. Normally, we just sit and talk. And I remember standing outside that door thinking about knocking, okay? And like, how do you make I was playing video games sound good? Like, as I'm like in my mind, because I just had this, oh, this is gonna be bad. I'm gonna get reamed right now. I knew it. I was like so uncomfortable because I felt guilty because I knew I did something stupid and I didn't want to face that. And here's what we do sometimes, I think, with God. We're standing right outside. Oh, I just feel, oh, I don't want to talk to him, okay? And when we've done wrong and when we have sinned, that we feel this distance from God. And that's why we need to have this assurance of faith that cleanses us from our guilty conscience. Because without that cleansing, without knowing that you are, well, let me tell you, I have some points for you. Here's point one. If you want to draw near to God, you must know you are forgiven. You have to have assurance of faith, and your conscience is clear. Why? Because you know that you are forgiven. And that you are right with him. Without that, you're going to have this distance in your heart from him. And so our heart must be cleansed so that we can have that closeness to him. You know, we read things like, you probably heard this verse. It's Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. And we read that. By grace, through faith, not by works. That means not by anything I did. Yes. And then, when you do wrong, you go try and figure out a way to make it up. So I remember that, Emma, the one that broke the window? She was like, oh no, I'll do the dishes, and I'll clean. And she's like, I gotta figure out a way to make this right. And I was like, we're okay? I've forgiven you. And we do this with God, okay? We feel good with God when we've gone a certain amount of time without a sin. Now I feel okay. Or we've done something wrong, well, it's okay, I'm gonna do this thing, and now I feel better. And we try to alleviate our conscience, and that doesn't work. That does not cleanse our heart. The only way is to truly know that I'm forgiven by God, by grace, through Christ Jesus, I am saved, okay? And so we need to know that. That's the first thing. If you can't get past that, you're gonna struggle. Regularly I encounter teenagers who struggle with this, and it's, just this last summer, we were at youth camp, and this boy, you know, first night, didn't make any progress. You can see the ones that come in and are really hurting, you know, and just kind of watched him. And finally, by the last night, we're talking, and he's like, I just feel like I've done too much wrong for God to love me. And I'm thinking, you're 16 years old. If you knew what the adults in this church have done, all right, you know what I'm saying? And you haven't had enough time to mess up. But he had this feeling in his heart, he can't be close to God. And some of you feel that way, that you can't be close to God because of what you have done. But you need to understand that the blood of Christ is enough to cover whatever you've done. Amen. And when you recognize that, for maybe the first time, you can draw near and feel a closeness with God. Don't let the mistakes and sins of your past keep you from really being close to him, from drawing near. So we're going to go back to this verse, and we're going to continue on, right? So it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And then he says, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, he's not talking about a bath, okay? It kind of sounds like one. However, I will just point out, if you want to be close to me, you must take baths, okay? sometimes I feel like that with the teenagers. I'm like, do your parents not know to teach you about deodorant, okay? By the way, if you have a student over there and you haven't talked about it, please do. Anyway, it's just for us. So it's not talking about a bath. It's not talking about baptism, okay? There's the washing of pure water. So actually, when you're reading this, I was reading this verse, and it's just, there's another verse that sounds so similar. Okay, I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. This is James 4:8. Draw near to God. Okay, I'm reading for you. This is exactly what it says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He talks about cleansing your hands. Okay, this one here says, wash your body. Your body's washed, okay? And then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And it's becoming clear what he's talking about getting rid of our life in our lives. Now, if you think about it, I underlined hearts, then I underlined bodies because I want to point this out. There's an inner work that needs to happen to be close to God. That inner knowing that that he's forgiven me. There's that inner believing that we have. But our faith is not just inner, it's lived out. And we need to cleanse, we need to wash, we need to remove, put off the things that don't belong in our life. So I'll just give this next point. Number two, if you want to be close to God, you need to put off sin. You need to put off sin. I like to think of it like this. If you can imagine I had me and a friend and we're walking along, so let's say it's me and God. Okay, we're going along, and when I'm walking with him, I'm in his will, I'm doing what he wants me to do. When I sin, I am not in his will. I have to depart from his will. When I sin, I am walking away from what God wants for me in my life. You understand? When I'm sinning, I'm not doing what God wants, and I am putting distance between me and God. I'm separating myself from what he wants to do in me. Now, here's some good news. Depending on how you look at it, okay? It said to wash your body. Remember that? Wash your body. Okay. I take a shower more than once a year. Anybody else? More than once a year, okay? It's pretty frequently, okay? I wash my hands more than once a week. More than once. Every time I go to the bathroom, I wash my hands, especially if it's a public bathroom, okay? I wash because they need to be cleansed. And I want to just, you know this, getting rid of sin is a constant cleansing in our life. You're never reaching a level of perfection where, oh, I'm done, I got it all done. No, it's a thing we do through our whole life as we're cleansing and we're removing this stuff from our life so that we can be walking in the will of God and walking with him and near him. And, I want to point this out. When you mess up and you feel dirty and nasty, I need you to remember point one, that you're forgiven. See, that's very important. But we don't go, well, you know, I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want now. I can live however I want because God forgives me. I can just be close to God. And we get this, you swing one way or the other, like, and they're both an error, okay? You swing this way and say, well, I got to do works. I got to make myself right so that God will forgive me. I got to do some good things. Now God will forgive me. Well, that's error. We can't earn his forgiveness. But you don't swing the other way and say, well, it doesn't matter how I live and how I act. I can act anything, do anything I want, and be close to God. That's the wrong way too. What we need to do is live in with him in his will and do what he wants to do. And when we see sin in our life, we wash it away. We put it off. We get rid of it. And some of us have felt apart from God, distant from God. And if here's the truth. The reason you feel that way is because you are allowing sin to stay on you that you're supposed to wash away. And you may even feel forgiven. And that's good. I'm glad that you do. We should. You need to feel loved and forgiven even when you sin. But if you just let it stay, it's pulling you away from what God wants to do. Now, in my prayer time before, I always ask God, I say, God, what do you want me to hear from this message? Because, you know, I want to be spoken to too, okay? And I asked, and there was another verse, I just wrote it down. I have a sticky note somewhere. Ah, there it is. Hebrews chapter 12, okay? It says this. It says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It's just a couple chapters later. And I was noticing this is throwing off. It's similar to cleaning. It says the everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. So this is what he said to me during my prayer time. Maybe this will be for one of you. Maybe for some of us, it's not just a sin that needs to be washed off, but there's some things that are entangling it, things that are hindering us from our faith. So let me give you an example. I don't know that I can find a place in the Bible that says that you should that spending almost all of your free time on a screen is a sin. I don't know that I can do that. But I can tell you that it hinders your faith. If God can never speak to you because you're always having your phone, your face in a phone or in a screen or in a whatever, it's hindering. And I think he was telling me, he said, you need to be careful how much time that you're wasting with some other things I want you to do. Now, that was for me. Now, and here's the thing. He's going to speak to you through your life and say, would you get rid of that? That's keeping you from doing what I want you to do. That's keeping you from really being closer to me. And listen to him to what you need to put off, what you need to wash away. All right, so that's two things. Here's the next thing. He says, and let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hold to the hope that we profess. Now, here's the thing. You need hope when things are difficult. When you're going through a trial, and this was very common in their time, but we have trials too. When you're going through a trial, you need to hope. And you need to put your hope in him, that he is faithful, and you know his promises for you, and you put your hope in that. So when it comes to our being close to God, I have made an observation. So I'm going to show you a couple things. These are my observations of different positions that we get in. Some of us are one way and some of us are the other. So I'll just show you because I'll make it more clear. For some of us, it is hard to draw near to God when life is easy and easy to draw near to God when life is hard. Now, this would be me, okay? Now, this might not be you, but this would be my natural way, where when things are easy, I just tend to focus on life. Things are good. You can go through the day and not think too much about the Lord. But then when it gets hard, I'm like, Lord, I need you so much. I can't do this on my own. And this came to such a stark reality to me way many years ago. I was in college, and I had some stuff go down, and it was just a rough time. And I remember I'm in my apartment. I was on my knees praying, God, I need you. I can't handle this without you. I need you to guide me and show me what to do. Praying, and in that moment, it just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, for the last few months, you've had so much blessing, and not once have you gotten down on your knees. And it was just this conviction, and conviction is a good thing, by the way, on my heart that when I have good in my life, I was just ignoring God because it was good. And as soon as I was desperate, I went to him. Now, it is good to go to him when you're desperate. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm telling you to go to him in both times. So that was my way, but others, some are this way. For some, it's easy to draw near to God when life is easy. When things are going good, they're like, oh, God is good all the time. God is good. Yeah, can I get an amen? And they're super excited because life is good. And then it's hard to draw near when life is hard. As soon as things get bad, where is God? How could he let this happen? And I'm just going to need to take a break from church because I can't even think about God right now. And life is hard, so I'm going to push God away. And so when things are hard, there's something we need to do. That's what it told us in this passage. So here's point three. Hold hope when life is hard and give thanks when it's easy. When it's hard, this is what you have to do. You have to lean into God. In fact, it needs to become our habit that a hard time doesn't get distance between us and God. That's what draws us in even more than we are. You may be close to him, but as soon as I have a difficult time, I'm with him. I need him. And so don't let a difficulty keep you away from God. Don't let a challenge in your life. That should be when you hold on the most, that you're holding on to the hope and you're holding on to him. And then we give thanks when it's easy. Every morning, my alarm goes off at 6:10. And some of you think that's really late, I know. But at 6:10, I get up. And, well, at 6:10, the alarm was off. I snooze for 10 minutes, and I get up at 6:20. Okay, that's my... So at 6:20, I sit up in the bed, and I put my hand on my wife, because she's still... And I kind of do this to help her start waking up, because I don't want to face the kids alone. And I'm doing this. But while I'm waking her up, every morning, I thank the Lord. I say, thank you so much for my family. I thank him for many, many different things. And literally every morning, I start the day, thank you, God, for the things that you've given me. Thank you for health. Thank you for this. Why? Because I do not want to ignore God when things are good. I want to recognize him right from the front of the day. Yeah. And so you can start when you have good things in your life, let that be the very thing that draws you near him, okay? So that's number three. Let's keep going because I got two more verses. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. That we're going to spur each other towards love and good deeds. So here's the thing. If you want to be close to God, do what God is doing in this world. Be a part of what God is doing in this world. If you want to be close to me, don't invite me to go skydiving, okay? I am the opposite of a thrill seeker. I do not like thrill seeking at all, okay? Nothing like that. I don't want to go four-wheeling. I don't want to ride dirt bikes. I don't want to do any of that. Now, if you want to go play tennis, we can hang out, okay? If you want to, I might go shoot guns or something like that. Well, actually, most people... I'm scared of the way you handle them. But anyways, there's a thrill thing. But there are things I like to do, okay? And you do this. See, if you want to hang out with somebody, you want to be close to somebody, find stuff that they like to do and do it with them. Okay, with teenagers, I'll play video games with them. Why? Because I just want to get to know them, and they're playing video games, so let's do that. And we'll play sports together and different things to get closer, to build a relationship. And what I want you to know is, what is God doing? Well, he's loving people, and he's doing good in this world. And when we start to participate in those things, you're going to be closer to him. It can be all kinds of things. And if you just look through your day, through your days, you're going to see God speaking to you and showing you things to do. It can be you see a person who is needing something, and he'll speak to you and have you go do that. I mean, I started young. I remember in high school, I was sitting with my friends at lunch, And then there was this table, a couple tables over, where this weird guy sat. You might know somebody weird, okay? He was weird, okay? He smelled, nobody wanted to sit by him. He sat all by himself every day at lunch. And I'm sitting there eating, and I just felt inside, go over there and sit with him today. And I didn't really want to, but I just did. I got my tray, I went over, and I sat down. I said, hey, man, how's it going? And he looked at me like, what are you doing here? Because nobody sits with me. But I talked to him the rest of lunch, and I got up, and I was leaving. My friend's like, why were you sitting over there? And I was like, I just felt like he wasn't supposed to be alone today. But I can tell you what, I had never felt close to God during lunch before like that. It was something about when I just knew I was doing what God wanted me to do, I knew I was with God in that moment. There was a close, just eating lunch with somebody, just a simple thing. One time God told me to send somebody some money. They were having a baby, and I just felt like they needed it. I don't know why. And I tell you what, when you're about to write somebody a big check, actually it was Zelle. I'm about to Zelle somebody, okay? It's like, I want to know I'm hearing you, God. But I tell you, I felt closer to him because I was listening to his voice and doing what he wanted me to do, okay? And here's the thing. When you are involved in what God wants you to do, there's a closeness to him. It's kind of the opposite of sin. Sin is departing from his will. When we're doing love and good deeds, it is bringing us into his will. So if you want to draw near to God, do good to others for God. And I was actually thinking about it after I made this slide just a little bit ago. Maybe with God would be a better preposition, because this is what he's doing. So let's do good to others with him. We're in the process of working with him and doing this with him. And we're doing good, and we're loving others with God. And as you're doing that, it's like you're coming into partnership with God to do good things in this world. You will never feel closer to God than when you are serving him and doing good things for him. I had grew more in my faith the first time I led a Bible study than I probably had in the years and years and years before, because I needed him so much. I felt so inadequate. I needed him. And I tell you what, I just, this closeness that developed. I've talked to many people who volunteer, children's workers. They're in there teaching kids, and the kids are learning, but the children's worker is the one that's growing the most. They're getting impacted so much by doing it. Growth group leaders. They grow so much when they decide to start doing this. So when you get involved in ministry and you're doing these things, that's when you'll grow. So we need to do good. You'll be closer to God as you begin to do the things that you're supposed to do. And I shouldn't say things that aren't in the notes, but I'm gonna meddle. Is that what we call it? I don't know. I'm new at the adult preaching. Okay. Meddle in the soapbox, whatever it is. Okay. I'm gonna talk to parents. Okay. Sometimes you have to take a break. See, some of us took a break from doing ministry, and this is what happens a lot of times when people have kids, because when they're newborns, it's insane, okay? Y'all know what you're like, what am I doing? Okay, but don't let the fact that you have kids stop you from doing ministry. They say, well, it's a season. Yes, I do know there are seasons you need to take a break from doing certain things. You can't do everything all the time, but 20 years of someone being in your home is not a season. You know what I'm saying? And I bring it up because I've seen friends and parents who have kids, and they step out of doing ministry for 20 years, and some never just go back. And I want to challenge you. Let your kids see you doing ministry. Let your kids see you being involved in helping others. They need that more than a lot of other things that they need. And so don't take a step back just because you're busy. Okay, and let your kids see you doing good and loving others. And as they see you draw close to God, they're going to want to do the same thing. In fact, it says to spur one another towards good deeds. Spur, right? Well, how do we do that? By doing it. I mean, I don't think he meant like spurs like on a horse. Like, get on, let's go, okay? No, you give an example and you live that. Okay, and there are people, I don't know about you, there have been people that I see that challenge me to do good. Some of our missionaries, they're just unbelievable people. And I hear the stuff that they do. You know, we have one missionary couple who both of them have doctorate degrees. They could be making lots of money here in the States. One is as a nurse, and you know, one could teach in seminary. And they're overseas just doing it for the ministry. They're not just volunteering and doing free. I'm like, you're incredible, okay? And they challenge me. I see what they do, and it challenges me. And people can see you, and it will challenge them. And your kids can see you and your faith and what you're doing for God, and it will challenge them. And so we need, if you want to be close to God, do what he is doing. be involved in what he is doing, and you'll be close to him. Okay, and then finally, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Now, I don't know if you noticed, I highlighted something in blue on all of the sides. All the verses started with "let us." And this is really important, because our relationship with God is never meant to be done in isolation. This is an American idea, like, oh, just me and God, okay? And we are not meant to be doing this in isolation, just me and Jesus. It is us. Let us do these things. Let us draw near to him. Let us do this. And so he says, and let us not give up meeting together. Apparently, this has been a problem a long time, okay? This started in the early church where people were like, well, we don't really need to do that gathering anymore. I'm busy. I got stuff going on. And people have been busy their whole life, okay? Or for decades and decades and generations and generations. And he said, we can't stop meeting together. If you want to draw near and you want to be close to him, you need to gather with believers. To put it even more plain, you need to start go to church. Now, I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, okay? And so we're a step up in that game. But let's not take for granted how important it is that we gather with believers and that we have relationships with each other that strengthen each other and help us grow. And I'll just be straight out and go a little deeper, a little further. Sitting through a church service is not all that gathering with believers is supposed to be. So if your only experience with church, gathering with believers, is a one-hour service, I want to challenge you to push it to something else. Whether that's finding other believers and asking them to go out to dinner and ask them over to your house and strengthen each other that way, or it's joining a small group, or it's getting involved in a ministry where you're with other people and you're doing ministry together, but you're finding a way to gather with other believers to strengthen and encourage each other. But also, and you know this, you were here tonight, and you come, there's something special that happens when believers gather together. Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There's a special presence of God, a closeness to God that happens when we gather as a church. And when we worship him together, his presence is different and you experience him different. And so it's important, if you want to be near God, that you continue and you make it a priority to be with him. So I have a simple question. Are you close to God? Are you where you want to be? And maybe you come in, me and God, we're doing good, and this is great. I want to say, yes, keep going. Don't stop doing these things. When sin comes in, wash it off. When a hurt comes, you hold on and you stay close to God. But I know that for some of us, maybe many of you, I don't know, there's a distance between you and God. And so what we want to do is take a moment. This is what we come to church for. We don't come to church to get some head knowledge. We come to grow and let God do things in our hearts. And so I want to take a couple of minutes to seek him and let him draw us near to him. When you draw near, he will draw near. When you seek him, you will find him. When you search for him with all of your heart. And so if we will do that tonight, I believe that you'll get closer. Maybe you came tonight and you do not have a relationship with God. You can begin a relationship with God right now, tonight. You can be close to God. If you were one of those that you just feel that guilt, okay? You look at your life and the things you've done, and you go, I just don't know if I can really be close to God. As we sing in a moment, and as we have a moment of prayer in a couple minutes, would you just turn it over to God and say, God, I trust you to forgive this sin, to forgive this wrong. Let that guilt go away so that you can be close to him. To give it to him. Don't hold on to it another moment. He forgives you and loves you when you turn your life to him. Some of us need to put off some sin or some stuff that's just holding us back. And if the Lord speaks to you, I didn't give any examples of that tonight for a reason, okay, of what those sins are. I guess I talked about me and my phone. But because I just want God to speak to you. I want him to, and if there's something that you need to wipe off, wash away, something that is pulling you out of his will, would you, while we're singing and while we're praying, just turn that to him. If you're going through a hard time, hold on to him. Maybe you haven't been doing any ministry. You've kind of taken a break for a season, and it's time to step back in. Talk to God. So what we're going to do is we are going to have some prayer partners in a minute, but I asked the worship team first to lead us in a song, and we're going to just sing and talk to God and worship, and I just want to ask you to have a moment with you and him to seek him and to draw near. So before the worship team leads us, could you just close your eyes for a moment? I like to take a moment to tune everybody else out and look into my heart and say, God, what do you want me to do? This is what I did before I came up and preached. I said, Lord, what do you want to speak to me through this message? So I want you to ask God, what do you want to speak to me? And if right now you have that guilt in your heart, you feel distant from God because of mistakes or sins in your life, I just want you to decide as we pray and as we sing that you want to seek him and be forgiven and have your conscience cleansed to let that guilt go away. If you need to put some stuff off, ask God, Lord, how do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do? Just let your heart seek the Lord for these next few minutes.